Welcome to the True Spirituality with Ange podcast. I'm here to bring you a version of spirituality that will uplift you, inspire you, and make you feel good. Your belief system does not matter. Everyone is welcome. And along the way, I hope I will help you to build your own spiritual blueprint that will make you feel 100% good about yourself. This is what I have done for myself, thanks to my intuition. So come along for the ride and let's light up the world. You don't need to be religious or even to believe in God. This is an inclusive and diverse space. Let's do this. Today's episode is making me giggle because the title is Does Sunbathing Count as Meditation? I have a thing with meditation and spiritual people. One of the things that really irritates me in spiritual spaces is the almost universal command you need to meditate. It's so prominent, it feels like gum that you've chewed all the flavor out of. Plus, there's a sort of entitled, privileged vibe to it, because if you were working two jobs to make ends meet and you lived in a council flat with loud neighbors, meditating would be really, really hard. And does that mean that you can't be spiritual? Of course not. So this is all a bit of nonsense, in my opinion. I also want to say, for 8% of the population, and I think it's probably higher than that, but that's what the study said, the one that I looked into. Meditation can actually worsen your symptoms, especially if you have anxiety, depression, or PTSD. So here's another enablist streak around meditation, right? If you're in fight or flight response, meditation is going to trigger you. Okay, so what I want to say is if your body or your mind refuses to meditate, it's probably because it's not good for you. To take a breath, check in with yourself. How does that feel to you? If it feels triggering, don't do it. Okay, there is a dark side to meditation, and this was revealed by a research by the Brown University and the University of California in 2017, right? And the dark side of meditation says that it can increase anxiety. It can increase dissociation with the world. That means you isolate yourself from reality and from people around you. It can reduce motivation. It can contribute to sleep problems, and that was through a study by the American Psychosomatic Society. And it can even increase physical symptoms such as pain, pressure, involuntary movements, headaches, fatigue, weakness, gastrointestinal problems, dizziness. They all have been reported by enthusiastic meditators. So, contrary to what people would like you to think, meditation is not the end all be all. And I think it's important that we all take stock around that, because it's almost like there's a mantra going around there that tells you that if you don't meditate, you can't be spiritual. And that tells you that if you want to be spiritual, you have to meditate. Okay. Traditional meditation in silence can be challenging and even triggering when your inner world is in chaos. Okay. Now, I got a lot of this information from a wonderful article by the Times of India that was published in 2021. And this led me to want to make a comparison between mindfulness and meditation. I'm a much bigger fan of mindfulness than meditation itself. And it's not because I've never meditated. That's not true. When I was pregnant with my second child in 1998, more towards early 1999, I joined a Zazen meditation group and I enjoyed it. But it doesn't mean that you should enjoy it or you should do it. I want us to have all a lot of discernment. And also, I want to shine a light to some of the indoctrination that is going around, some of the narrative, okay? So here's what I think about mindfulness versus meditation. Mindfulness can be done anywhere, whereas meditation, you need a special place, which to me screams privilege. Mindfulness doesn't disconnect you from your surroundings or your reality. It's the opposite. It asks you to be in the present moment, whereas meditation disconnects you from reality. This is what the study says. Mindfulness is much more grounded. It takes the body into account. It asks you to tune in to the sensations in your body, whereas meditation is about escapism. It's a lot about ignoring the body. Okay. I think you need to take that into account when you make your decision of which practice you want to follow. Okay. And if you're experiencing mental health challenges such as anxiety, depression, or PTSD, as I said before, there are so many other ways to find peace. Okay. And probably, if that's you, peace should start with therapy and not just any therapy, the relevant kind of therapy, because talk therapy is not always a good thing for people who have PTSD. Sometimes you need things like EMDR. And if you've never heard of EMDR, I suggest that you look it up, okay? You need to understand how the mind works before you engage into any form of meditation, because there's something you need to understand before you step into that practice, okay? And what you need to understand is that you are not your thoughts, first of all. It also, you have to understand that when you have a thought, the quality of the thought that you have, and we all have negative and positive thoughts, okay? The quality of the thought that you have will take you to different parts of the brain. So if you have a positive thoughts, it's likely to take you into your prefrontal cortex, which is a problem-solving and creativity area in your brain. If you have a negative thoughts, it's going to take you into the amygdala, which is the worry center, or what people sometimes call the reptile brain. So this has a massive impact on your mood, your mindset, everything else. But if you think you're your thoughts and you barged into or you engage in a meditation practice, then you're going to be left to your own device with some thoughts can be pretty destructive. And I don't think that's a safe thing to do. So what applies to people who don't have mental health challenges, who don't suffer from anxiety or PTSD, is different from the other people. And it's not a judgment. I've been in both camps. I think you need to be careful and look after yourself. So don't listen to these spiritual people because they could be putting you in danger. Okay. You need to learn to challenge your thoughts as well before you start a meditation practice, because this way, when you're sat in silence or when you're engaged in an activity mindfully, you'll be able to understand that you are not your thoughts. You'll also be able to understand that your thoughts trigger emotions, and that emotions trigger behavior. And when you understand that, you're already a lot safer, okay? Your thoughts have a massive impact on your life. They create your reality. So before you start meditating, I want you to engage in Byron Katie's work, which is about the four questions. Is my thought true? Am I sure this thought is correct? How do I feel when I have this thought? And who would I be without this thought? All of this is super important before you do any meditation whatsoever. Okay. People who talk to you about doing meditation without explaining this first to you are dangerous, right? Now, I want to go into why do people encourage you, entice you, or tell you that it's good for you to meditate? Okay. Now, some of them, it's purely for their own benefit because they teach meditation. But I also want you to know that there are a lot of people where you practice meditation who are actually breeding grounds for cults. So I want you to be aware of that. I don't want to be you to think that I'm super negative, but I am aware of the dangers of spiritual world and people. I want to keep you safe. Very important for me. Why is it important to me more than maybe someone else? It's because one of my friends got sucked into a cult, right? And it's very scary when a friend of yours is in a cult for 10 years, believe me. And it's so easy. She was intelligent, she was educated, And there's nothing we could do to stop her.
So just a small pause to mention something quite exciting that's happening right now. I have created a quiz and I was wondering if you'd like to take it. So in order to do that, I will be adding a link in the show notes to sign up for my newsletter, which means that you'll receive my musings, some offers, and then you'll make sure that you'll know what kind of content I put up, because I'm also an author with The Taoist Online on Medium. So the quiz, I work with a framework with my one-to-one client called the EPIC framework. And this framework enables you to establish the foundations of your success. Most people don't reach their full potential because these four pillars are not in place. And these pillars for me are energy, prosperity, intuition, and mindset. So if one of these pillars is not rock solid, when you reach a certain level of success, you will be probably sabotaging yourself. So this is what it can look like. You know, you've just had a promotion, or your business is doing really well, your relationship is amazing, you love your life, but then you get very sick. Perhaps because you don't have time to rest, you're constantly on the go, etc. So that's the energy pillar. The prosperity pillar surprises me often, but it can happen for people who are actually really successful. Their money's coming in beautifully, but then whenever they reach a level that goes above what they're comfortable with money, and this can be an unconscious thing, a huge bill comes in, or something breaks down, and it almost seems like whenever they have this big pot of money coming in, it's immediately used for something else. That's when your prosperity pillar needs working on. Intuition is more likely to be about a little bit about the law of attraction as well. It's around being able to make decisions in an easy to get in the flow of life, and also to start understanding that it's not all down to you, that the universe actually co-creates with you. And the last one, mindset, I'm not going to go too much into it because I don't want this interruption to be too long, but you can see how these four pillars are absolutely vital if you want to reach your next level of success without having to sacrifice your health, your relationships, or even your sanity. So make sure you sign up for my newsletter. You will receive the quiz as a PDF, and I'd love to know which of the four pillars need more work for you. So feel free also to reach out. The best way to do that is on Facebook or LinkedIn. I'm Ange de Lumière on both, and I'd love to hear from you.
So getting back to the purpose of meditation, because if someone recommends meditation, it's because of some reason. Well, meditation encourages reflection. It encourages the quieting of the mind. It encourages emotional well-being and a connection to yourself, to your deeper self. Well, you can do that through so many other practices that are not meditation, which I'm going to go into in just a few minutes. I want to give you alternatives. I don't think that my way is the highway, my way is the only way that meditators tell you is right. They're not telling the truth. What could be right for them might not be right for you. And I don't want you to feel inadequate because you've tried meditation and it hasn't worked for you, or because you've tried a meditation, you got more agitated and nobody was there to check if you were okay. The people who encouraged you to meditate weren't there to pick up the pieces. This is not right, okay? I believe in some ways, meditation can be used by the ego to brag about how spiritual you are. So it could be used by all these people who meditate, who think they're superior to other people because they meditate. Well, if they think that, it's pure ego. And given how many narcissists live in spiritual spaces, please, please beware, all right? Now I want to talk about alternatives to meditation, okay? That can help you to achieve peace, reflection, quieting the mind, emotional well-being, connection to self. I've mentioned already therapy. I've mentioned it several times on this podcast. Therapy will start your healing process, will help you to get over some of the trauma or abuse, or even just some upset that you might have had when you were younger, okay? Not everybody's been abused or traumatized, but we can go through quite a lot of upset. And sometimes we need going to therapy doesn't mean that there's something wrong with you. Going to therapy just means that you are adult enough and responsible enough to know that if you work on yourself, you can improve yourself and you can be a more rounded human being. So if anybody else around you tells you that people who go to therapy are people who have problems and we don't have problems, or they start telling you if you go to therapy, it's because, yeah, there's something wrong with you, I'm going to tell you something. I think everybody needs therapy. It's not possible to go through life without having some sort of event that requires therapy. Now, some people from your parents' generation or grandparents' generation would tell you, but we managed without the therapy. Yes, they did, but they did by inflicting their emotional wounds on their children and people around them. That's the big difference. So they didn't have to worry about it because they took it out on other people. For the most part, and I can talk about my family tree is full of people like that, who either refuse to take responsibility for their emotions, refuse to take responsibility for their behavior, and for some who had access to therapy, who refused to go to therapy because they thought there was nothing wrong with them, and there was everybody around them. This is not spiritual responsibility, okay? So first, one alternative way to meditation and a much safer way, obviously, if you find the right therapist, and therapists are not saints, you might come across some that are a bit dodgy. If that's the case, just run away. You don't have to stay into something that's uncomfortable. But at the same time, I will say therapy can be uncomfortable at some point, but it shouldn't be the therapist that makes you feel uncomfortable. It's the therapeutic process. Because it's going to challenge you, it's going to make you face uncomfortable feelings, and it's going to require of you that you don't try to numb these feelings, or you don't try to distract yourself from these feelings. This is a beautiful spiritual practice, going to therapy. So that's number one. You could be doing some art. Art is an amazing way to focus in the present moment. It's an amazing way to empty your mind if you're completely absorbed into it. And for me, for over 10 years, but I discovered mosaic making in the 90s. And immediately I was won, because for the first time, probably in my entire life, I was able to do something with my hands, and my brain seemed to switch off. My brain went into silent mode. Suddenly, I didn't have all these voices in my head because I was too focused on what my hands were doing, on breaking up the pieces, on creating a piece of art. It was absolutely phenomenal. Now, you might not feel confident enough to do art in this way, whether it's mosaic, whether it's sculpture, whether it's fine arts. But everybody can do some coloring. Everybody can do some doodling. These two practices can be very good for you, and they're reflective and they can quiet the mind. They might even help with your emotional well-being. Okay, so that's other ways. You could be doing some journaling. Journaling is very good for reflection, for quieting the mind, for emotional well-being as well. And of course, it's not meditation strictly, but I think it can be a meditative practice, or at least it can be a reflective practice, which is always a good thing. Walking or running in nature can be a form of, it's a little bit more like mindfulness, but whilst I was in my Zazen center doing Zazen when I was pregnant with my second child, we did a walking meditation in between the sitting on the Zafu. So walking meditations have been known for a very long time, have been practiced in Buddhist monasteries and probably in other religious practices. I don't know all of them because I've never been a nun in this lifetime. But so that's one possibility. I know when I go running, especially if I go in nature, there's a meditative space around that. There's a practice that can happen. Tai Chi and yoga are wonderful practices that can get you to that quiet space, that peace, that reflection, that well-being. Cooking. Now, I want to share a story about cooking with you. I went to San Francisco in the 90s and met with a lady who had trained with Native American shamans. And when she did a reading for me, she told me right away, cooking is your form of meditation. And it was really interesting because at the time, I was married to a man who never cooked, who let me do all the chores around the house as if I was his servant and not someone who lived with him. Something that his mom started, but I should have seen the signs. And that shaman telling me that cooking could be a meditative practice completely changed my outlook on the cooking that I did for both of us. And I decided that it was going to be a nourishing practice for me rather than something that I resented. Shifted everything immediately. If I'd gone to meditation, I probably wouldn't have had as many benefits from it, from just sitting around and not thinking about it with the right frame of mind. So that's another thing. Gardening can be a wonderful way to get into the meditative state or the reflecting state. Laughter yoga for me is a big one. It might not sound like much, but it kind of brings you that into that space of joy. And I know that, for example, I went to a laughter yoga evening in December 2013, when my dad was dying, and I reaped huge benefits from it. I came back completely transformed, with a new outlook, new strength to face the situation. And I want to add one more thing. I want to add, because this is actually the question I asked at the start of this podcast, so it's almost fitting that I would should answer it at the end. I have actually practiced sunbathing as a form of meditation for the past few years. I'd never done it before because I never thought it was something that could be used as a meditative practice. But I realized that for me, because I'm always running around, I actually bought a hammock when I moved out of the city. I used to live in Paris and then I lived in London and then I moved to Bristol into a house. Now, very soon after I moved into that house, I decided to buy myself a hammock. And that was completely transformational for me because I'm used to doing, doing, doing. And I was a single mom of two kids at the time, working a very demanding job. I actually forced myself to lie in my hammock whilst I watched the kids run around in the garden. They were safe, they didn't need me. That was my reflection time. That was my meditation time in the sun. So I've actually created, and for me, I still do it. And there's going to be some, there was a very surprising aspect that how can I say, I learned about that makes complete sense for me. When you sunbathe and you focus on the sun on your skin, you're actually focusing on one of your senses. And as I actually have complex PTSD, this enabled me to soothe my nervous system enough that I could just sit down and be quiet for long periods of time. So it worked a treat. Okay. So I wanted to give you all these options because the "you must meditate" mantra sounds almost like a cult to me. It sounds like something that is thrust upon other people, and it's not true. I'm not against meditation. As I said, for nearly 6 months, I took part in weekly Zazen meditation session. And it's absolutely instrumental in some people's well-being and in spirituality. But I'm against the cookie cutter single flavored chewed out gum advice. So, the short answer to the question I asked at the start of this podcast is yes, sunbathing can totally be a meditative practice. And if that's something you'd like to try, I'm going to invite you to try it out and just come and tell me how you got along. Thank you for listening, and I'll speak to you again next week. Bye for now. Thank you for listening to the True Spirituality with Ange podcast. I want you, before you go, if I could ask you to be kind enough to rate the podcast and write a review so that more people get to know about the podcast. Please also, if possible, share the episodes with people you think might be interested in listening to them, especially if you've liked them a lot. And understand that I'm also available to come and do expert talks to your communities, your memberships, on either intuition in business, spirituality in business, mindset, energy, prosperity, and intuition. Thank you so much for listening.